Good afternoon, Bloomington. News Talk 96.1 AM 1370 and WGCLRadio.com. The End Zone Radio program, the second day of August. Happy Wednesday at WGCL. I'm Mike Glasgow, joined this afternoon by my good friend and voice you just heard there, Terry Stoltz. Good afternoon, T. How are you?
Glass, fantastic. Great day. Hump day.
Middle of the week, or as they know in RBB, as back to school eve. Hopefully everybody has got their school kits all ready to go, books rearing, shoes shined, haircuts done. Big day tomorrow, and maybe a quick day at the fair today because you got to go to school tomorrow.
Jeez.
But yeah, that means summer is quickly coming to a halt, and if that's not a clue for you, well, the Monroe County Fair is going on. That's always a signal of the final innings, if you will, of the summer season. And surely the key to all of it and the biggest clue of all was IU football media day yesterday. So we'll have plenty to do from that. Tom Allen, Mike DeBoard, all the coaches, all the players, everybody out talking about what to expect for the 2017 season. That starts on the 31st of August right here in Bloomington Memorial Stadium. For the first time since, 1982? The Big Ten opener, the season opener, all on the same night. It'll be a Thursday night for football, national TV, national audience, and on ESPN, the big ESPN, as the Ohio State Buckeyes and Urban Meyer and former Indiana head coach Kevin Wilson come to town for an 8 p.m. kickoff. That sounds like it's far away, but so did the beginning of school just a couple of weeks ago, so don't blink. You might miss it. Also going on and getting rolling this week, the Colts are in camp in Indianapolis, no longer in Anderson, no longer at Rose-Hulman. They're on their campus for their preseason activities, and Colts football will start right here on WGCL before you know it. We'll tell you all about that as the program moves on. Colts trying to get a little bit more physical in camp. You saw the highlights and saw the tweets and everything else yesterday about two of their best players going at each other. And, well, those guys don't set the tone. Who's going to set the tone? So a new day, new general manager, new players, new position, competitions. But one thing is missing. That is the star quarterback, Andrew Luck. He is still on the sideline with that, so we'll talk a little Colts as the program moves on as well. And if we get into it, I know the Pacers made one roster move since we've last talked to you. We'll make sure we clear up any loose ends on all that. And the World Golf Championships Bridgestone Invitational will begin tomorrow over in lovely Akron, Ohio. Busy, busy times in golf. You go major at the British Open last week in Canada. This week, World Golf Championship, big money. Big field, and next week is the PGA, and just like that, poof, the golf season.
And then the FedEx Cup gets really
in two
starting
weeks,
to roll.
Right? You'll have one more tournament, the Wyndham Championship, down in Greensboro, and then it's off to where are they? They're at a brand new course this year, just outside New York City. That will start the Northern Trust something or the other, new sponsor, new everything. Two of the four playoff events have new sponsors this year. So yeah, golf steps on the accelerator pedal quickly, as well as everybody tries to get out of the way for that monster that is football. And that's where we begin tonight. And the Indiana Hoosiers yesterday had media day at the Hanke Hall of Champions. You heard from Coach Tom Allen, obviously, on what he expects for this team moving forward in 2017. And Terry, I don't think we heard a whole lot of stuff that was different than what we heard maybe at Big Ten Media Day. Big Ten Media Day is a little bit more macro in the sense of just the greater thinking of everything. And yesterday, when you have your own writers getting in or your own journalists getting in and asking some deeper questions about your program and maybe just not the state of the league and what else is going on with scheduling in general, you get a little bit more information. But Media Day serves its purpose. You get out there and you hear what's gone on all summer. You hear about the good, some of the not so good in the injury department, which we'll get to, and then obviously the philosophy moving forward. And this Media Day is important and exciting because it's Tom Allen's first one. The head coach obviously coached the bowl game last year, but this was his first complete spring in charge and the first beginning of his fall camp. So not a lot of interesting things in the sense of earth-shattering coming out of Indiana football camp. But the one thing that did start the proceedings was what? And that's defense. And that's what Indiana made their biggest leap in last year. And Tom Allen was hugely responsible for it. Some will argue that's what got him the job as head coach, because of the way he turned things around on the defensive side of the ball, taking Indiana from one of the poorest rated defenses in the country into almost the top half, or maybe even into the top half, top 50. That sounds like more less than 120, so 60. Yeah, doing a little quick math there. We'll figure that out. So the Hoosiers made great strides on that side of the ball. They return a handful of starters and a bunch of players from that side to give them some depth, to give them some competition for positions, and that's what's exciting about it. But Tom Allen made no bones about it. There is no defensive coordinator listed at IUHoosiers.com. Tom Allen has that responsibility. Mark Hagan is the assistant defensive coordinator. So not a surprise, Terry, to hear that defense was going to be number one on the plate yesterday.
No, not at all, and that's his calling. What a tremendous jump they made last year in just, you know, making plays, making some tackles. And yeah, they still had their hiccups, but he did a tremendous job. He's deep at safeties and defensive backs. He's got all Big Ten. Rashard Vance back there. Tigre Scales, they are fairly deep at linebacker. Hey, losing Marcus Oliver's tough. He was their leader. But Tigre Scales is pretty darn good. I like the way he mentioned Chris Covington, who, folks, about 3 years ago, he was a quarterback.
Taking snaps
for us. A huge, you know, a large, big 6'5 guy, great athlete, throw the ball a mile. Got hurt. The quarterback that year was a disaster with everybody getting hurt. He ended up moving back to linebacker last year and doing special teams. And he looks like he will move into Marcus Oliver's Mike linebacker position. Glass, I mean, it's just they've got depth everywhere. Maybe the defensive line might worry Coach Allen a little bit. But other than that, and Hagan, a longtime All-Big Ten player here at IU, is an outstanding his second in command. Those guys are going to get it done on the defensive end.
They will, and they showed that jump last year, and the belief that the defense showed last year and the passion they played together. I know those are immeasurables that a lot of people don't want to talk about because you can't measure them, but what you can measure is how they did perform on the field last year. They brought their yardage way, way down. I think it was in the 380 range. And the quote yesterday was, we want to be an elite defense. We want to make that jump. And what does that consist of? Well, getting into the top 25. So Indiana makes a huge leap last year, but with the leadership coming back on that side of the ball, with the depth in the defensive backfield, and even the linebacker to a little bit. Husky has some options along with Marcelino Ball. We can't leave him out of any discussions.
He's great.
With what we talk about. Tigre Scales will anchor it. It was interesting, and I've mentioned this before in the last couple of weeks when you heard Tom Allen talk, even at the Big Ten media days. He talked about Tigre Scales not only leading the defense but leading the team, and I think that's important, because if you're going to focus on the defensive side of the ball and let's say your quarterback is your leader of the team, well, it kind of doesn't work necessarily that way. It's not a bad thing. All quarterbacks should be leaders. He did single out Richard Lego at Big Ten media days and say he is the leader of our offense, Rashard Vance the leader of our defense, and Tigre Scales is the leader of our football team. It's not hard to connect the dots why all three of them were in Chicago just a couple of weeks ago. But the defensive side of the ball is where Indiana made strides last year. Their third down conversion percentage was excellent. They could get off the field, but there's still some areas if they want to make that leap from the top 50 into the top 25. Well, it's a statistical category, and it's not, you know, if they're 27th, I don't think anybody's going to complain. Or even if they're 33rd, it's just you want to see them continue to progress. And that metric is, I think, taken into consideration with yards and points and everything else. But Tom Allen had some interesting angles to even all of that. You know, he said, look, in today's day and age of college football, where everybody spreads you out, they go sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone, scoring defense is kind of a misnomer. Maybe red zone scoring defense is something that they want to look at a little bit stronger than that, because if you hold teams to a field goal, 3 points, well, that's as good as a touchdown and an extra point twice. So that there's something to be said there. And who shuts anybody out in college football anymore? With the way these offenses are running, with the athletes they have in space, everybody's struggling to a degree to catch up. So if the Hoosiers give up 390 yards this year instead of 383 but have two more wins, who's going to care about their defensive percentages?
Oh, Glass. And how close were we to maybe another 3-6-6 could have very easily been 9-3 last year, without a doubt. These guys, I tell you the thing that Coach Allen's looking for, don't give up. You talked about getting out on third downs. Don't give up a third down play on third and long, which we've been notorious for 100 years at doing.
But better last year, as you mentioned.
And last year was much better. You know, keep that on a third and long. Get out of there, get a punt. And the other big things, like you had just mentioned, the red zone defense. Let's try to keep it
holding
to a field
teams
goal.
To field goals or
I got no problem with that.
Absolutely right.
No,
field goals are not as automatic as in college football as they might look. If you're a Colts fan, you watch that on Vinatieri, you say, what do these guys ever miss? Yeah. And it doesn't happen. Well, sometimes it does. Pressure affects these kids a little bit differently than the others. And then obviously the main point of the defense, again, is going to be taking away the football. The more times they can take away the football, that's going to stop what? Points from being scored. That's going to stop yards from being accumulated. But there's the other side of the ball as well. Indiana right now probably had their most recognition in the offseason on defense because Tigray Scales, named preseason All-American, Big Ten, top 10 player, top 5 in his division of the Big Ten, Rashard Fance on a bunch of watch lists as well. And the offensive side of the ball is going to have to do their job because there were games last year when Indiana right in it and couldn't find a way to get the ball in the end zone or struggled to get first downs and help keep the defense, give them a little bit more of a break. You still have to score. We know it's a tough league. It's a tough Eastern division with Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State. We know all that. But the offense is going to have to find a way. The good news for the offense, though, T, is what? Fifth-year senior quarterback Richard Leggo returning a year under his belt after seeing the rigors of the Big Ten, home and road. Who plays better defense than the Big Ten East?
Yeah, no
not many, not many.
And while we've talked about defense in this first segment, now we'll go in and talk a little offense when we get back.
Couple of question marks, but some positions of depth as well as the Hoosiers gear up for Ohio State. August 31st, Thursday night, 8 p.m., Memorial Stadium. For more information, head to iuhoosiers.com. 812-333-2665. We'll take your phone calls next. It's Terry and Glass in the Zone. .621 at WGCL. You're live in the Zone here on a Wednesday night. There's Terry Stoltz.
Yes, sir.
I'm Mike Glasgow. Thank you for being with it. Being with us and being with it. Yeah, you got to be with it. And there's plenty to get with. We'll give you an update on all our football programming for a busy, busy August here right around the corner. But remember, the Reds are still on the radio tonight. They look to take the series, win game number 2 from the Pittsburgh Pirates at PNC Park at the confluence of the three rivers as they send Robert Stevenson to the mound tonight. He's looking for his first win. Reds got a good start last night from Homer Bailey, a season best, just 4 hits in 6 innings. Even better, he gave up 1 run. Reds pounded out 14 hits, scored 9 runs, won 9-1. Let's see if those bats can stay hot. The Reds are 7-1 against the Pirates this year and not very good against anybody else.
No.
So Marty Brenneman's pregame will follow us at the top of the hour, and then we're back with Reds baseball for you on Friday and Saturday as the Cardinals come to town for a weekend series, and we'll have those two games for you on the weekend. So let's see if the Reds can keep things moving along. They only lost Tony Cingrani at the trade deadline because there are two other big players that were trade-worthy. Zach Cozart's on the shelf with the quad issue, and Scott Feldman, the starting pitcher, it's probably been their most consistent thrower this year. He is also on the disabled list. You can tell why the Reds have had some problems keeping up and staying in the division. This is, their first two-game winning streak since the All-Star break.
Young pitchers, and now injuries.
It's interesting because youth has to get old at some point. Youth has to start performing at some point. How many times can you trade guys out to just get a couple years younger that maybe aren't performing? So the Reds are interesting, that's for sure. We'll see who starts moving up from the farm. You've seen plenty of throwers come up this direction. We'll see who else moves around. Obviously, you still have the waiver trade deadline that goes on for the next, 3 weeks or so. you've got to clear waivers before you can do that. Teams can claim and block and do all that fun stuff. So plenty of baseball we'll still worry about and keep our eyes on it for you starting tonight at 7 p.m. Speaking of experience, the Indiana Hoosiers moving forward in football, this is one of the first years I can remember in some time where we're not talking about youthful this, and hopefully we can find some guys that can learn quickly. We've gone through the years where you had an all-freshman and sophomore secondary. Those guys are redshirt seniors and juniors now. That's excellent because you can't teach that experience, especially at this level. But the offensive side of the football we know is going to have to carry their weight as well. For many, many years, and even before Tom Allen got here last year, the offense was the calling card of Indiana football. 1,000-yard rushers with Tevin Coleman, Jordan Howard, and Divine Redding, and then Divine Redding again last year. Part of that was because Indiana University also put two offensive linemen into the league with Jason Spriggs and Dan Feeney. They lost to half their line last year for part of the season. Some returned, some didn't, but Indiana still found a way to grind out another 1,000-yard back with Divine Redding. Still finished 6-6. Indiana in some interesting territory here. The first time in a long time they've been in back-to-back bowl games since the early 90s. But as any team moves forward, college football is not one-dimensional. Neither is pro football. You have to be able to move the ball. You have to be able to score. And for Indiana right now to have a fifth year, it's not a fifth year at Indiana, but it's an experienced kid. It's been around. Richard Lego will be under center again. Last year he played almost all the snaps minus the Xander Diamant interludes, which helped out gratefully at times. But Diamant is gone, and now you have no experience behind Lego. And if you're Indiana football, you cross your fingers, cross your toes, cross your arms and everything else, and hope that he stays upright and stays alive. The line, plenty of kids have had plenty of snaps behind him because of the injuries we've mentioned. That's not a huge deal. A line can be as good as a unit. It can be as good as individual players. So where you might not have that Dan Feeney that jumps off the page from you, you have guys that have taken plenty of snaps at that position. But where you don't have the experience, some of the names I just rattled off, Tevin Coleman, Jordan Howard, Divine Redding, you don't have that go-to kid in your backfield that's going to carry the ball 20 to 25 times and rack up some serious yardage. It's not easy to throw up 1,000 yards. That's why everybody makes a big deal about it. Heck, Tevin Coleman had 2,000 yards. We knew how good he was. Is the safety in numbers, is that the key to the backfield this year?
It's going to have to be, Glass. I mean, you've got really five running backs coming back that have seen some action. You know, Mike Majette, I like him a lot. I think he may, and Coach Allen's talked about, he may be the standout of the crowd right now. You got Cole Guest, who's a scatterbug. He's somebody that can go from 0 to 60 in 2 seconds. You know, Devontae Williams, great on kick returns also. And Alex Rodriguez. And then you throw in the big boy, Ty Natty.
There you go.
And so you've got four different types of backs and a power back up that could go right up the gut in Natty. And so there's five guys, but not a one. You can't get 1,000 yards adding them all up. So there, running back guy committee's fine. Hopefully out of this bunch, you're going to get a good, you know, some solid games out of some of them, and it may be hit and miss. But, yeah, that's going to be tough back there with this bunch.
The consistency of taking carries, taking hits in the Big Ten over time is not as easy as the three backs we've mentioned with 1,000 yards made it look at times. They had good holes. They had good line play. Not to say the line won't be possible. That's not possible this year. That's not the case at all. But the one thing that stands out from everybody you mentioned is what? They've all missed significant time due to injury. And I understand maybe last year and the year before you weren't going to get a bulk of the carries anyhow because of Jordan Howard, because of Divine Redding. I get that, and that's completely valid. But what you always worry about in the back of your mind is if a guy's getting hurt, and guys get hurt a lot, you don't want guys to get hurt. But you have the numbers. That's the good part. And you hope that these numbers do what? Give you competition for playing time, give you competition for who's going to get the most plays, who's going to get situations. It's pretty obvious on 3rd and 2 if you bring Natty into the game what's going to happen there. So he's going to have to execute in those parts of the game. Williams gives you, like you mentioned, gives you a little scat back to him and catch the ball out of the backfield. Majette has a great burst. Cole Guest is again, a kid you want to see more of. We've getting all these little tastes. We get all these little small plates, all these little appetizers, all these little bites of these guys. And just when you think something's going, somebody gets an ankle injury. Somebody gets a hip pointer. Somebody falls down and twists their ankle or whatever the case could be. Durability at that position, that's very important. But it's also important to have enough guys. But the one thing I noticed yesterday during Tom Allen's press conference when he was talking about the running backs, he interjected without any help from anywhere else about, and we have two freshman running backs.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
That have obviously caught his eye. The kid from Ohio is 235 pounds. Is that guy? Can't be correct. 225, 6'1", 225. And then the other kid from Florida, Morgan Ellison, is the freshman from Pickerington, Ohio, 6'1", 225. And then Craig Nelson, coach, is 5'10", 175 from Miami. So maybe, again, a little bit of a thunder and lightning. But you've got to be able to take hits. You've got to be able to take shots. And hopefully this committee will pose a threat in different ways where Big Ten defensive coordinators can't say, okay, here comes Redding. This is what he likes to do. We've watched 10,000 hours of film on him. Here's how we're going to stop him this year. Put us up for 1,000. Put us up for 1,000. Now we're going to stop. Well, you don't have that. So maybe those idiosyncrasies can help a little bit. But what you need, Terry, you need somebody to run between the tackles. You need somebody to get tough yards. You need to keep drives alive. The more they put on Richard Lego's shoulders this year, throwing the football, in my opinion, is not going to help Indiana moving forward. That's not to say that Richard Lego is incapable of handling it, but how many times do you look at the box score? And we used to do this with Peyton Manning when he was a Colt. When Peyton Manning threw for 400 or 500 yards and had 45 or more, they never won. The reason you're usually throwing it that many times is you're behind two or three scores and you can't afford to run the football anymore. Great balance is the key to any good offense. The good news is the way they've handled Lego since Mike DeBoard has come in, the new offensive coordinator, came from Tennessee. They stripped down all the games last year and tried to figure out, what were you looking at? What was your read? What did you see? Because learning from your mistakes, well, that's a great way to do it. And Lego, I believe, had what, 21 touchdowns, 18 interceptions, yeah, somewhere in that area. He also threw for almost 3,400 yards. So there's something to be said for that. But being a senior, being the leader of the offense, there's no more Dan Feeney to rely on. To be the leader of that offense, you also have to perform. That's when people will definitely follow you once you get things going. But moving forward with this, the receiver core seems to have some bodies. Tight ends, which Mike DeBoard loves. He told us that yesterday. Tight ends stocked up and ready to go. Depth at running back, maybe not the quality of depth that jumps off the page for you. Is this the best setup, Richard? Is this a better setup than maybe Richard Lego had last year when he had injury problems?
It's possible. He's got some players. Hopefully, Jayshon Harris, he's back now, at least healthy. They think he's going to be all right. Luke Timian had a great year last year, Nick Westbrook. But the name nobody's mentioning, and it could be the key to the whole receiving core, sans the tight ends, would be Simi Cobbs. And his legal problem up at Clips Audio at a concert not long ago, there's been no mention. I assume he's there. I'm assuming if they don't kick him off, he's at least going to get suspended for a game or two. But he could, Glass, he's the wild card. This is the best receiver they got, period. And he was unable to play all of last year because of a suspension and then a severe ankle injury.
Game play number one.
Yeah, and in the first game back. But this group's got people. This group's got experience. This group's got speed. Hopefully this group has a little bit more consistent quarterback in his second year at IU, because that was also one of Coach Allen's mantras, is we've got to be better, take better possession, better care of the ball on the offensive end this year. I'm hoping he can do it. He went to several quarterback camps.
Yeah, I went to the Manning passing camp, which is a big
deal. Went to the one out in San Diego where there only were seven quarterbacks there, and he was one of them. So, but I'm with you. I don't want him to have to throw to set up the run. I'd like to see balance, but Glass, to tell you the truth, especially in the first game, we may have to see him come out, short passes, hit those tight ends, do something to keep Ohio State guessing so that our young stable of backs can hopefully get some yards on the ground for us.
Well, and that's the other thing that's interesting, what you're going to see from Ohio State, and we'll get into that here in a few weeks, but if you flood the line of scrimmage, taking away any run and making Lego beat you, yes, you're right, Terry. He's going to have to be more accurate. He's going to have to be more seasoned. He's going to have to understand what traps they're trying to set for him. But I think with DeBoard in charge of that and manning up the quarterback's scene, I think that's going to help. Also, with a stable full of tight ends, they can't stop raving about Ian Thomas, but we heard that last year from Coach Kevin Wilson about how great a summer Ian Thomas has had. And potential is great until you realize it. Catching the ball third and three, 2 yards short, taking a hit, turning, getting the first down. Those are the little things that Indiana needs to do moving forward. Yes, you have to have deep threats to stretch the field. Yes, you have to have guys that go underneath like Mitchell Page did to make big plays and make big catches for tough yards. You hope Jayshon Harris is part of that. You hope all the receivers that are there are healthy and can help out that. Luke Timian, you saw him make flashes of brilliance last year as well. So Indiana seems to have the tools in the tool shed. And a couple interesting things that Mike DeBoard said yesterday that caught my ear were, look, we've got to cut down on the turnovers. That's obvious. Everybody knows that. We're trying to go through these film sessions and figure out the why they were caused. We know what happens. If a ball hits a guy's hands and it goes up in the air and the other team catches it, well, that guy's got to catch it. Maybe you need to throw it a little bit better. Are you throwing into the right coverage? Tell me what you're seeing. Tell me why you thought that was. And maybe you can find some different ways to fix it, because it's not going to be the same offense Lego ran last year. You don't know in these film sessions, if he looks at me and goes, man, Coach Wilson will call that play 3 times a quarter, and I was never comfortable running it, and he kept calling it and calling it.
Right.
So you eliminate that play, and this is the whole discussion where I'm optimistic as an Indiana fan that with fresh eyes, fresh knowledge, fresh scheme on the scene, this could make Lego a bit different quarterback. Maybe it takes out some of those throws that he's uncomfortable making or some of the reads he's uncomfortable making, and that helps Indiana move forward.
It sounds like he may have one voice to listen to this year.
Good point.
At times last year that between Kevin Wilson and the offensive coordinator,
Kevin Johns,
they just I don't want to say battling each other, but I want to say they might have had a game plan and Wilson interjects something. Hey, Johns, run this play on the next series. Maybe Richard Lego had too many voices in his ears. We'll see. And Mike DeBoer's great resume and down at Tennessee, they were pretty decent moving the ball down there.
Michigan
we'll
with
see.
The Henny and yeah. Brady and all that combination.
And that group for sure.
Right, Nick Sheridan was a quarterback at Michigan as well. He'll help out on that side of the football. And the good news with Lego, hearing all of that last year and going through it, this year everything should be a little slower. Everything should move at a better tempo mentally, because he's been through – it wasn't a perfect ride. It wasn't a clean slate, but somehow Indiana won 6 football games. Let's not lose track of that. 6-6, bowl game for the second time in 2 years. So his performance wasn't perfect, but it got done what it needed to get done. And all that experience that he didn't have any of going into last year, he has that now in his back pocket, plus the knowledge of DeBoard. Moving forward, I mean, DeBoard's, look at his resume, folks. You might need 10 minutes to do so, but yeah, there's plenty of it on there, and that should make football fans excited. A lot of people will think, well, now that Kevin Wilson's not here, what are you going to do? How's this going to work out? But think of it this way. Lego threw it a ton last year and had 1,000-yard back. So you had balance. You did have some balance. It wasn't like this was a one-dimensional hurry-up-and-fire offense. It wasn't. They went tempo when it was time to go tempo. They spread it out when it was time to spread it out. Now, did they execute maybe as well as they liked in the red zone? No. I think that's where some of the multiple voices came into play, multiple play callings, maybe being a little bit too clever for – a little too cool for school at some point. Yeah, some of those things didn't work out. I understand that. So what's DeBoard want to do? Limit turnovers. When you get in the red zone, let's get points, preferably touchdowns. You've got a pretty solid kicker in Griffin Oaks. He's shown
definitely.
He's shown that over the years in the regular season. But 20-yard field goals means you're snapping it from the 3 and spotting it at the 10. Punch him in. Guess what that does? Freeze up your defense a little bit. Pin those ears back. Have a little bit of fun. Cause some turnovers. Takeaways, I owe you 25 push-ups. I'm not doing 25 push-ups. Take me 4 days. And Hoosier football on the up and up. The other news briefly before we head to the break here on Hoosier football, 3 injuries that have jumped out and have caught the attention to a degree. It's a good news, bad news thing. Nile Sykes had, 4.5 sacks last year? He was injured very late in summer workouts. I heard it was later than last minute late. Just an unfortunate, unlucky circumstance. He's already had his surgery on an undisclosed injury and will miss the 2017 season. I like Tom Allen's angle on this, and that's why I wanted to bring this up. Because if I say Niall Sykes to 25 Indiana football fans, I bet 15 will know who he was. But what Tom Allen said was, he's hurt. He's got fixed. He was having a great summer. We were excited for him, but now that's done. So now he has to get ready for 2018, and that's what it is. No moaning, no complaining, no anything else. Help your teammates any way you can. Get in there and get after it. It's not some mystery of why he's not playing the first six games, or there's no cloak and dagger to any of this. He's out. He's done. Next man up. Next man has to move in, and somebody needs to fill that pass rush specialist or that end specialist that's going to raise havoc out there. The other injuries, the one that makes you a little bit itchy is Brandon Knight, who's played anything from tight end to tackle on the line for Indiana University. Big things were expected of him. His injury they don't disclose any of these injuries for the most part. It's one that he might be back for Ohio State. The only reason I bring this up is because when it's, and the word they used was fluid, do you hurry a guy back up for Ohio State where that fluidity could cause him to miss six more games? Or do you keep him out the first two or three games so we can finish the season strongly? Again, when you don't have all the details, you throw out these scenarios, but I think they're fair to think about. If he's not going to practice leading into Ohio State, well, guess what? He's not going to play. If you don't practice, you can't play. That's pretty obvious anywhere else. But you hope, again, Indiana University seems to have a cloud that sometimes hangs over it with injuries on the offensive line. I don't know why that is. But you would like to have at some point. You didn't have it last year. Camille was hurt. Feeney had a concussion. Yeah. You can just keep going down the line of guys they lost who made it into any of the games. You just like to have that line stable. The unit stable, you've got a fifth-year senior quarterback. That should be a huge advantage. You've got a running back by committee that might need a little bit better organization up front. Sure, you don't have Dan Feeney, the road grader, pulling from right guard to smash everybody through the hole on the left side. You don't have that anymore. So Brandon Knight is week-to-week, day-to-day, whatever it is. We'll update you when that happens. And then the other one is a freshman kid from Plant, WAP. What a great name. Filler. He's hurt, and they expect to have him back here in a couple of weeks. So there you are. You're updated on IU football. August 31st, 8 p.m., the Ohio State Buckeyes come to town. ESPN National Television, 8 o'clock prime time. That starts your 2017 football season. Get those fireworks ready, Fred. Get them ready.
We might even have a little surprise from some football game day guys showing up, from what I hear.
We might.
That's what I heard.
We might. And, again, it'll be here before we know it. Here's what we hope to hear from IU football as we move forward. Absolutely nothing. What does that mean? That means nobody is injured. That means nobody has any problems off the field. That means practice was great. Everybody practiced hard. We're into it. We're competitive. We're roughing it up. Having some fun. Speaking about having some fun, we'll have some fun when we come back, because the Big Ten is finally having some fun, perhaps, in the basketball scheduling department. We'll talk about what we've heard earlier this week and how that pleases both of us as Hoops fans. 641-812-333-2665. You're in the zone. 645 at WGCL. I'm Mike Glasscott. There's Terry Stoltz.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening.
Once I turn your mic on, you sound fantastic. Today, believe it or not, is Super Wednesday. What does that mean? Well, it's 2-for-1 armbands at the carnival at the Monroe County Fair. Two armbands, just $30. The mini sprint start in the grandstand here in 15 minutes and will go all night. Grab an elephant ear on the way and another one while you... if you're walking to the grandstand to watch the mini sprints, why not take an elephant ear with you? I'd take two. That's why the good Lord gave you two hands. That's how you'd roll. Pro wrestling in the auditorium tonight, too. Don't forget that.
So
if you need a little air conditioning, you can do that. If you want a little... you want a little mini sprint in your life, you can do that as well. The Monroe County Fair runs through Saturday. For more information, monroecountyfairgrounds.in. And have fun out there. It's a gorgeous night. It's going to be, hopefully that rain gets away, Terry. It's going to be 75 on Friday and 78 on Saturday. Great way to wrap up fair week. Tomorrow, we know the RBB kids get back to school. But tomorrow night on these airwaves, we will present to you NFL football. No, this is not a test. This is the Hall of Fame game. They've moved it from Sunday to Thursday this year. It's going to kick off their weekend in Canton, and we will have for you Westwood One's presentation starting at 7:30 as the Arizona Cardinals, former head coach Bruce Arians of the Colts, taking on the Dallas Cowboys. So if you have a football Jones that was not satisfied by high school practice opening this week or IU Media Day or Colts training camp, the real thing will be tomorrow night right here, 7:30 on WGCL. Now, Colts fans know they're out hitting. Vontae Davis is hitting T.Y. Hilton. Well, if you don't have your two best guys hitting each other, no one's going to buy into any of this. That's a stage. That's what's more staged, the wrestling at the Monroe County Fairgrounds tonight, the professional wrestling, or that stuff in practice? Well, the Colts want to get a little bit tougher, so they proved how tough they could be. Well, at least gave you that image. And with new players on defense, new general manager bringing in competition, you're going to hit at practice. Why not? That gets people tougher. You know what doesn't get people tougher? Talk. Talk doesn't do it. Internet doesn't do it. Go out and hit somebody at practice.
A 5'9 receiver and a 6'1 DB does not get my juices flowing for a fight between two spiders.
But if the...
That is nothing.
If the motif is we're going to play tougher, hit harder, and get after it, that's better than showing me video of nothing going on at the Colts training complex. Malik Hooker is back. He's been playing a little bit. That's good. I was all over him last week for being out again. He had a day off. He had this. He did that. Just play ball. That's what you need your number one draft pick to do. So we'll do more on the Colts as it continues on. Again, no news is good news from Colts camp, but our Colts football coverage will start a week from Sunday, August 13th, 12:30 pregame, 1 o'clock in Detroit as the Colts and Lions get together. The first of four games here, the 13th, the 19th, the 26th, and the 31st. You can check our Colts and NFL schedule at WGCLradio.com. Speaking of schedules, is the Big Ten really going to get this right? Are they finally going to listen to everybody who has said, this is the most ridiculous thing ever. Can you please fix it? What are we talking about, T?
Well, we're talking about Indiana and Purdue playing home and home in basketball.
Sounds so easy, sounds so simple, but yet it's so difficult.
Well, I mean, you know, in football, they made sure to keep those rivalries. If you weren't in the same division, they kept
them. Put us in the same division, mind you.
On purpose.
Still found a way to keep the rivalry.
But.
With only 8 games when that started, mind you.
And I think probably Jim Delaney and somebody must have heard one of your rants on the morning show.
It had to be.
Because they finally are addressing it now, because next year we will host the Boilers. I think everybody either read that in the HT, have heard you talk about it. Have to go to West Lafayette, which, of course, does not pain me personally.
Not at all. But it's the third time in 5 years where they haven't been scheduled to play home and home. And at this level, it's ridiculous. This is the Big Ten. And again, they have more money than they know what to do with. Get a computer programmer to figure it out. You know what? Life isn't fair. If Penn State doesn't have a natural rival, well, don't schedule them one. It's not hard.
No.
It's not hard to do. Not everybody has to have a natural rival.
Let them go play Pitt outside the conference.
There you go. Get your out of.
But we don't need.
But that was part of the issue with this. You're not even helping your teams in your league playing best opponents, not to mention the two teams with the most Big Ten championships
exactly, of
all time. So we hope that gets done. We will keep you updated on that as it moves forward. You don't have to force a rivalry. I agree with that. We got one. Give it to us. Let them figure out rest of it later.
You've got Michigan State and Michigan. You got Michigan, Ohio State. You got Illinois and Northwestern. You got us and Purdue, like you said, with the most championships together between the two schools.
It's not even close.
It's ridiculous that those four combinations that I just mentioned are not home and home every year.
Not yet. And that, at least we have words on it, because a week ago I said, please somebody ask Delaney. And it's great that they've addressed it, and the athletic directors are looking at it, because nobody moves, and that's the good news. 6:51, we're back with one more segment for you here on a Wednesday night. We'll do that next. You're in the zone. One final quick time here on a Wednesday night. Pacers have new uniforms, T. What do you think?
I don't think there's anything wrong with them. Indy people were going nuts. Our friend the Chronic Hoosier tweeted about it.
Who likes change, Terry?
It's a uniform.
Who likes change?
A uniform.
Who likes change?
Nobody likes change, and I'm an old guy. I don't like it. No.
Nobody likes
change. These look fine. You're going to throw in the hickories from now and again. Every now and again, you'll see them bring back the Flojos. It'll be all right.
Sure. And you've got to, and you have to as well, make sure that those people that have the old Paul George jerseys would buy new jerseys.
Of course.
Somebody that you'd like to know. Kevin Serafin waved. That's official from the Pacers. He had a roster bonus coming up in a week or so or whatever it's going to be. He is no longer there. So that, I think that puts the roster at 14.
We're real close. So I think they kept 14 a lot last year. They don't always go to their max on 15. So
no,
we'll see what
to.
Happens.
Gives you some flexibility as well.
They're going
to
be better than people think.
And as we know, the Pacers are always under the cap.
Always.
Should have room to boogie around a little bit. High school football, can you believe it? 2 weeks from this Friday, we'll be in Brownsburg to kick off the 2017 season. Mo Moriarty's South Panthers will take on the Brownsburg Bulldogs, a rematch of last year's opening game right here in Bloomington. That came down to, what, a two-point conversion play late in that game? So an exciting matchup. Brownsburg on Friday the 18th. Bloomington North hosts Greenfield Central on the 25th, and Edgewood will be our, obviously, we always start the season with
That's
our
right.
three local schools before the battle for the city. It's North and South the Friday after that. So your first four Fridays, very exciting. All of high school football is exciting. See our sponsors, see our schedule, see it all at WGCLradio.com. For Terry Stoltz, I'm Mike Glasscott. Have a great afternoon. You've been in the zone.